My son,
Daniel.
Daniel, yes, thank you very much. Yes. I was just going to just backtrack and say, actually, we're talking about a long time ago, and many of us in here have had toddlers, or just past toddlers, you know, like the 3-4-year-old stage, when they have a certain amount of vocalization, but they haven't got an awareness of quite what the impact of what they're saying necessarily is, and they can be very perceptive, can't they? And we went to this very, very big church in a northern city for a Sunday morning service when I can't remember how old he was. He must have been, you know, at that sort of stage, 3 or 4. We're talking about a very big space. We're talking about, I don't know, 4 figures in the congregation there. And this man came up to the stage, and he was welcomed on the stage, and the leader of the service said, "We just want to welcome so-and-so onto the stage. He is a recognized prophet in our church." So he comes to the platform, and he starts crying. He's like this on the stage, which I've got a picture of someone crying there. And Dan goes, he looks at me and said, "He's acting, Dad." "Mum, he is, he's acting." He's acting. No. You know that feeling? And then it turned out that the church had been away for a church week the week before. And this guy said, "I want everybody who wasn't at the church week to stand." So these people all over this building stood up who hadn't been to this church week. And he said, "God says you should have been there." And I thought, he was right. Now, do I really think that amongst that whole crowd of people who haven't gone, there aren't at least some who had a very godly good reason for not being there? Certainly there were. Do I feel it's true to my God that he would make everyone stand so that he can publicly humiliate the people who should have been there, along with the people who had very good reason for not being there? No, I don't. And I just throw that story in to start the morning because, you know, we're in this series in our evening service. We're looking at a verse, and it's a verse from 1 Corinthians. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26. And it's that primitive church. Please feel free to come and join us down here. Please do. We've got lots of seats which need filling up down here. Thank you. The primitive church, that very early New Testament church, this is that one verse is one of those very few descriptions. I think it's the only description in the New Testament which really describes the pattern of worship in one of those early churches. And it lists off the things that they're supposed to be doing. So here's the verse. "What then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue or interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up." And there's that picture of a church coming together with the expectation that Christ in me, which we've been singing about, will be inspiring the individuals, you as the individuals in the congregation, to bring something for the collective good and upbuilding. And we've been working through this. So we've looked at bringing a hymn. We've looked at bringing a word of instruction, what that might look like. And today we're on to a revelation. And we're going to be thinking about that. Now, the church down the ages has been very nervous about this because of characters like this prophet who stand up and say, and those of us who have been around in church life for long will recognize that we quite often have heard things said which are supposedly revelations from God, which have made us wince, and we're thinking we're not quite sure that is a revelation from God. I can remember in the old building, we had a combined service with another church, and somebody stood up and said, I think God is saying that somebody here has got cancer and they don't know it. Well, that's not very useful, is it? I mean, you've just set off the nerves of every hypochondriac in here, and nobody knows if it's them. It doesn't help anybody. Why would God say that? You know, so it would be very useful if God gave a word of wisdom to somebody for somebody else and said, listen, I think you should go to the doctor because I think, you know, there may be something you need to have looked at and go and get it checked out. That might be very useful, but that way. So what the church has tended to do has tended to regularize things and tended to restrict who have access to the front here, who can speak. They've tended to say, well, we're only going to have ordained people speak. We're going to have people who've got certain qualifications to speak, and we won't let anybody from the whole body to speak because it's too dangerous, because silly things get said. That's also covered in the teaching of Paul in the New Testament about how you deal with silly things. But we'll come back to that later. I want us just to own today in our teaching that the reality of Christ in me is something that means that there will be times when I have something to offer by way of a revelation to you, or you may have it for me or for one another. And we'll see how that pans out in a little bit. So we read a reading from the Psalms, which tells us how God's word is powerful. God's word, when God's word is spoken, it does things. And God has a perspective. He sees everything laid out before him. So God's word is very valuable for us. And the second reading was a reading from Acts 21, which just outlines all these different prophets who are in operation. As Paul goes from place to place to place on his journey to Jerusalem, there's words of revelation in each of these places he's going to. And there was good old Philip there, wasn't there, do you remember Philip, who witnessed the Ethiopian eunuch? He had four daughters, and they all prophesied, the whole lot of them, you know, and that would have been an awesome household, wouldn't it? but he had these. So we're going to be looking at this today and thinking about what it might mean for us. So let's crack on then. So here's my headings. We will remind ourselves that revelation is central to our understanding of God. That revelation is common in our experience of God. You may not think so, but I hope you'll be convinced when we get there. And I want to then look at, it's a continuing way of hearing from God. It's a continuing way of hearing from God within the life of God's gathered people. So let's dive into the first of those, central to our understanding of God. We know virtually nothing about God without revelation. Nature speaks about God. You know, that comes up in a number of places, doesn't it? In the Psalms, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the works of his hands. And in the New Testament, in Romans 1:20, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. There is something in God's creation that speaks of God. That's a revelation, actually, in itself. But there are things that we should understand, and our own nature, as we were looking at recently, also causes us to look towards God. And here's this verse in Ecclesiastes. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has set eternity in the human heart. So we look for God. There's something in us, a reflection. There's something within our spirit that is wanting to know about God and eternity. However, it goes on, yet no one can fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end. That whilst we have this hunger for God, whilst we have these clues about God in creation, we're not going to get a proper picture of God from those things alone. We need more. God habitually has therefore spoken to his people by revelation through individuals, through the prophets, the apostles, through others, that God says, I want to be clear. I want to give you as my people a clear knowledge about who I am, what I'm like, and how you can come to find me and know me, and how you can live with me. Make sense? Happy with that? Okay. So, just carrying on with being central to our understanding of God. We know God speaks through Scripture. I'm not going to unpack all these verses. You know them very well, and we're going to run out of time if I do. But, you know, all Scripture is inspired by God and is there to teach us. So he gives us his Scripture. And without Scripture, we wouldn't dare to believe. You've seen me put this verse up numerous times before. It's one of my favorite verses. It's just this wonderful, wonderful sense. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. I would not imagine the truths that the Scriptures give me the confidence to believe. I wouldn't have the audacity or the sheer brass neckedness to go to God and saying, I think you're going to forgive me. I think you're going to love me. I think you're going to take me into your family. I think when I mess up, you're going to give me a new beginning. I think that when things are a nightmare, you've got a plan for me for good. I wouldn't dare to say that, but the Scriptures tell me I can go to God like that. The Scriptures tell me that I can be bold before God. So I need that revelation to come there. That's revelation. And what we have is that revelation is founded on the apostles and the prophets, and of course that is in the Scripture. So when we've got the Scriptures, this is the testimony of what they saw and what they heard from God. And it comes, I'm holding my tablet up, this is my Bible on here, this doesn't look quite so convincing as actually a Bible, does it? But the Bible is an account of revelation. The Bible itself is revelation, but it's an account of revelation given by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says this. Jesus says quite clearly in John, he says, you know, when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to lead you into truth. He says, there's things I don't have time to teach you. But it doesn't matter, because when the Holy Spirit comes, he will teach you. He will lead you into truth. So the Holy Spirit was teaching those apostles. It wasn't just what they saw from the presence of Jesus. It was what Christ's Spirit taught them afterwards. That was revelation going on. So as I said, Scripture is the record of revelation. That's what it is. That's why you read it. That's why it is revelation, because it's the record of God's revelation. And I would say revelation continues. Let me just before I do that... I think it'll come up later. We'll carry on. So, and what I want to say is, I believe from the page of the New Testament that revelation continues. Now, I know there are different parts of the church which believe different things about this, but I find it very hard to naturally read the New Testament without concluding that revelation continues. You've got all these references, haven't you, to how the gifts of the Holy Spirit for the church include prophecy, and it's there in Romans, it's there in 1 Corinthians, it's there in Ephesians as well. I haven't got the Ephesians verse up there, but we should expect, if the Holy Spirit is moving amongst us, that part of it, one of his gifts is the Holy Spirit, unless you have some theology which I can't find in Scripture, which says actually those sorts of manifestation of God's Spirit have finished. And as we've seen, we see words from God in the primitive church. I want just to look at that one, Acts chapter 2, verse 17, because this is right there at the beginning of the ministry of the church on the day of Pentecost. And this is the quote from the Old Testament. In the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughter will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. The expectation is that for us in the last days, the days of God's Spirit, the days of the church, there's the expectation that God's Spirit will give us those wonderful messages of his truth for us. So Revelation, when we come across it in 1 Corinthians 14:26, it really shouldn't surprise us. It really shouldn't surprise us. It's right there. It's to be expected. It's true to our God. He wants to speak. He wants to tell us those things that we need to know. So I want to talk about being common to our experience. You see, I think that for many, there's a sense of, well, okay, I see the theory. I see that Revelation should be part of the experience of my Christian living. I don't feel it. Well, I just want to make the case, actually, that all of us are here because of Revelation. And we're all beneficiaries of God's revelation, okay? So here we go. So all revelation means, in its original sense, the word, is to remove a covering. In fact, there's a reference in the Old Testament to God taking the roof off Noah's Ark. And that word is this word here. You know, okay, now you can see. See what's there. And it just means an uncovering. And so it's very much interchangeable in the New Testament with words like being brought into the light or to make visible. We're very familiar with things being brought into the light and being made visible. The word revelation isn't so common in the New Testament. And a lot of the references to Revelation are by Paul, actually. First of all, it's God's events that reveal truth. Luke 2:32 talks, this is the prophecy about Jesus coming, and it says he'll be a light of revelation to the Gentiles. The event, God says, here's my event, my son coming into the world, there's an event, and that's a revelation. Now, humanity, sort out what that says about me. What does that say about my love? What does that say about my commitment? There's an event, and you can go through the Bible, can't you? Exodus. Boom, there's an event. I'm a God who's faithful. I keep my promises. I'm going to rescue you from slavery. I'm going to part the sea to bring you out. I'm going to overcome a mighty empire. This is who I am. For Israel, being brought out of Egypt in through the Red Sea was just that mighty, mighty event. This is our God. What events speak to you? I mean, the cross, the resurrection, the miracles of Jesus. These are events that shape the way we are, the teaching of Jesus. These are events, and there'll be future events too that God does. The events that speak to us of God's truth. God's gospel message. You know, these two references here, Galatians 1:12 and Ephesians 3, both these references, they're saying that Paul and the apostles, they only have a gospel message because of revelation. Now, how many of you here have heard the gospel? You know, if you've heard the gospel, that's revelation. God's revealed that to his apostles to tell us. What about this one? God opening our eyes to the gospel message. Matthew 11:25-27. It's very strong, these references here. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. 27, all things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. You know, brothers and sisters, if you have a living faith in Jesus, that's revelation, because you're not going to get there. The human person can't get to faith in Jesus by themselves. If you're a Christian today, you've received revelation. That's your experience. What about this? God showing us our state of grace. How is it that we know? Well, we read in that passage, didn't we, in 1 Corinthians 2, that that how do I know that God loves me in these ways and has these things for me? I read verse 9 to you about no eye has seen what no ear has heard. Verse 10, these are the things God has revealed to us by the Spirit. You know, if you know that God is good to you today, if you know that you're blessed by God, that's because God's Spirit is revealing to you and revealing to me God's blessing. Now, I know there's some folk amongst us who struggle to know that they're blessed by God. They believe the gospel is true, they believe in the gospel, but they're not quite sure whether it's actually working in their lives. And I just want to encourage you from this verse. I want to say that, come to God, say, God, reveal to me that I'm at peace with you. Reveal to me that I'm your child. Reveal to me that I'm going to be with you in eternity. Reveal to me that I'm safe in your arms. Not just a theory out there, but it's for me. So that's a big one. And we should be praying for each other that we would experience God's grace. And then there is this thing, God's gift, his revelation amongst us as a group of believers, where we have something to give to somebody else amongst us that will change the course of our lives. Because he speaks to us. Now, what I would say is, you may not have experienced five, but I would suspect that almost all of us here have experienced 1 to 4. Yep. So we're all very, very, very much experiencing revelation. We're all very, very much part of the product of revelation. That's the truth. Now, there's just this one little last bit. Is, you know, am I going to be a vehicle of revelation, God through me, to others in the fellowship? Is that just that one little thing? Does that make sense? So I hope you're convinced that revelation isn't this thing which is way out there. It's something which is already part of our lives. And God's saying, but actually, is there something that you can be doing in terms of being a revelation for other people? Does that make sense? Yeah. Right. Okay. Now I want to just talk about this last one. Continuing way of hearing from God. Revelation is that continuing way of hearing from God. I've actually put a lighthouse there because the lighthouse is that wonderful picture, isn't it? Both pointing the way to a place of safety, but also warning of the danger of the rocks. So you miss the rocks and you find the harbour. You know, it's a great picture, that, isn't it? That, and God's revelation does this. But let me just outline this. You know, God gives revelation to encourage. I want to just tell you a little story from last week. I was in St. Paul's Cathedral Tuesday before last, and there was something that Mary and I had, which was a concern, and that we were just wanting to pray about. And so Marion just tells me that she's going to pray for this thing. And at that point, at noon every day in St. Paul's, they have a communion service, yeah, a Eucharist. Just as she said, I'm going to make this prayer, I lifted my head up, and the person leading the service in the middle of St. Paul's read a scripture which could not have been more perfect as the answer to that prayer. It was specific words. I'm not going to give you the detail because I'm giving away the issues there which I don't necessarily want to talk about. But how many times have I been in St. Paul's in my life? A few times. How many times is that passage of scripture read in St. Paul's in any kind of cycle of readings? Maybe once in, what, 3 years? Is it lectionary 3 years, is it, usually in the Church of England? Maybe that. And just that moment. Now, this isn't kind of revelation in the sense of somebody saying, I've got a word from God for you. But what I want to say is, why was that so encouraging? Because what it was saying to me, and I tell you, it brought tears to my eyes. Because what it said to me was, God saying, I'm on the case. I know your need. I know what you want to see happen. I'm hearing. So Marion finished praying. I said, Marion, did you hear what was read just as you started? Nope. And I opened it up and I said, that was what was read. that was what was read. And you know, when that right word, when God's word comes and we know that it's absolutely right for us at that time and place, it is such an encouragement, massive encouragement. Helps to put our doctrine straight, and there's a couple of references there on that, but the big ones obviously are in John, how the Holy Spirit leads us into truth. But in Philippians 3, there are people who where Paul says, well, you know, God will put you straight. God will put you straight. And to guide us and to warn us. And I think that a sailor at sea who sees the lighthouse in the storm is greatly encouraged. They suddenly know that they're nearing safety and how to get their help to get their course straight, and they're warned and they're guided. This is a great thing. So let's just do some practicalities. I want to say that bringing words from God is so important. Please desire prophecy. This is what the scriptures say. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gift of the Holy Spirit, especially prophecy. This is 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Verse 5, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be edified. Verse 39, therefore, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid to speak in tongues. It's to have God's word, to bring God's word to God's people is just so, so, so precious. So precious. So desire it. Be diligent to hear God's voice. You know, I've got this verse here. Above all, this is from Peter. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. It is so easy to abuse this kind of a sense of word. You can stand up and say, here's something from God for you, and actually it's coming right from my own heart. And we have to make sure, if we're going to dare to speak, we make sure that we at least believe that this is from God. You know, I've got references there from Jeremiah, and I just love these passages in Jeremiah. This is about the first verse there about the false prophets who were just speaking their own dreams. And God says to them, if only you'd stood in my presence, I'd have given you my word for my people. If only you stood in my presence. And then to Jeremiah, he says, my word is like a fire, says the Lord. My word is like a hammer that breaks the stone in pieces. That God's word, and my word is like wheat, not chaff. So God's word, it's the thing which feeds us. It's the thing that can open us up. God's word is so, so precious. So desire prophecy, but be very careful to be listening for God. And then be open to testing. And now this is about how you deal with nonsense. How we deal with nonsense in the church is not by saying we will not hear any words from anybody who hasn't got the badge ordained on their lapel. What you do is you hear, but then you say, we will test this as a church. Is this word from God or not? Here it is. Do not quench the spirit. Do not treat prophecy with contempt. But test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. We test what we hear. Is this from God? You know, it's the way of handling this so we can continue to have it. So that's a little recap. We've looked how revelation is central to our faith in God. We've seen how revelation is common in our experience. And now I've just been talking about how revelation is a continuing part of our Christian experience together. So here we go, into practice. Next Sunday evening, this is what we're doing. Twice in this series, we will not be having preaching, but we'll be having a time when we can actually put into practice. So next Sunday evening, we're saying to the folk who come Sunday evenings, come with a hymn, or an instruction, or a revelation, or what are the other words in there, or a tongue, or interpretation. to build us up. Come with something. Come prepared with something. Come next Sunday evening if you don't normally come in the evening. Come and bring something from God. Maybe it'll be a little bit of word of instruction. But the point is, please do some work for it. And if you sense God has impressed something to share, come ready to share, but also come ready to be tested. Does that make sense? So that's next Sunday night. Now I just want to conclude. I put here, and prepare every time. Every time we gather, just take a moment through the week. Say, God, have you got something that you want me to be passing on to this body of people or to one or two of my brothers and sisters here, that God maybe has something that he wants you to pass on? And I'm going to finish just by a very, very brief story that some here have heard before. But, you know, before I came here, I was in a church in Peterborough. And it hadn't been the easiest of times in a number of ways. And I was looking to move on to another church. It was felt right for a whole variety of reasons. And we had said yes to a church somewhere else, which was a real out-of-the-way place. And I know that my boss at the church where I was felt that I shouldn't be going there because it was just an out-of-the-way place. And I knew in my own heart that I wanted to go there to run away. That's what it was. I wanted to run away. That's what I got to. Now, in that church, everything was played very close to your chest. So nobody else in the church knew that I was looking to leave, apart from the other minister and the church secretary and the church treasurer. You know, nobody else knew I was on the list looking to move. And the woman came to me after morning service and said, James, I've got a verse that I think God's given me for you. She didn't know my situation. She didn't know what I was doing. And this was the verse. It was Acts chapter 18, verse 9. It's the point where Paul has been very shaken up and scared in Corinth. And the verse says, one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. And the next day, I rang up the other place and cancelled because I knew my motivation was wrong. And I think it was that week that I got an invitation from here to come and look at coming here. So you might say that's been a curse, or you might say it's a blessing. I don't know. It's up to you to decide. But that word changed the course of my life. Changed the course of our family's life. And just be ready, be open for God to speak through you for other people. Take the time to do that. Thank you. We're going to have communion at this point. As I went into communion, we're going to listen to a beautiful piece of music, How Deep the Father's Love for Us, and just use it as a reflection to come into communion and to make our hearts ready to receive the bread and the wine to remember Christ's death for us.